This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Derby Royale YouTube channel. Today, we are talking through the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills have had an active offseason, but not in the ways that many thought. So we're going to talk through how we can make this team a little better following the Stephon Diggs trade. Stick with us through the intro. Make sure you like and subscribe while it plays. All right, we are here for another franchise fix type of episode. These are more just like seven-round mock drafts at this point, but we're going to talk through what this team has done this offseason up to this point, go through a seven-round mock draft, and kind of look at this new starting lineup to see if we've improved the team. Randy, this has been an eventful offseason for them. Let's start with the Stephon Diggs trade. What happened there?
Behind the scenes, Diggs has been a vocal guy. It seems like it just became too much of a headache for them, and it seemed like Diggs really wanted out, so I think it's best for both teams they got rid of him. Getting a second next year, getting yourself extra draft capital when you basically had to overhaul most of your team to fix your contracts, and after you paid your quarterback, you have to figure out the rest after. So not a bad deal. Diggs, a sixth this year and a fifth next year for a second next year. From the Texans, but from the Vikings. So,
yeah. I actually like that haul back for the Bills. Just based on, Keenan Allen went for a fourth. Wide receiver market is crazy. I think getting a second for Stephon Diggs, especially given the situation that it was kind of time, I think that was a good situation for the Bills to find themselves in next year. In the meantime, though, their only major addition to the pass catching room is Curtis Samuel. They signed him to a 3-year, $30 million contract. I actually think that's been an underrated, under-discussed move of the offseason. I think they're really going to utilize him. And I know Curtis Samuel's kind of like in the fantasy community, everyone's disappointed by him, but he's a good player. He's always been a good player, especially when utilized correctly. I think they're going to do a good job of that. What other major signings have they had?
Mainly, they've just brought people back. So they extended Deion Dawkins and Teron Johnson, brought back DeJuan Jones, AJ Epenesa, David Edwards, also an extension, Taylor Rapp back. For the most part, it's just bringing people back. I guess the next biggest would probably be Austin Johnson, 1 year, $4 million, and then Mike Edwards to be a starting safety. A lot of defensive signings to get a couple starters in and really shape up the depth of this team for this year, at least.
Yeah. All right. Let's just get into this mock draft because we know the team needs a lot of things still on really both sides of the ball. This isn't the Bills roster that we've come to know, but mainly we're looking for a wide receiver. Randy, how did we kick off this mock draft?
Yes, so we kind of went through all the scenarios. I know we're getting more and more talk of the Bills trading up. It's tough to do with their draft capital without giving up a first next year or maybe both seconds or a second this year, second next year. So we ended up actually trading back here, which I think is a good possibility, especially with if you have one receiver, you're looking at about 28. There's a good chance he's gone, so you pretty much have to trade up. This situation, they couldn't get that done. Someone beat them to the punch. We're trading back. We're trading the 28th pick, 133rd pick in the fourth round this year, and a 248th pick in the seventh for the 43rd pick from the Falcons, the 74th pick, and the 109th pick from the Falcons this year, and that's a fourth rounder. Falcons have 2 third rounders. This is actually the Falcons pick, I believe, so they still have the Jaguars. So it's a good deal for both teams. Falcons get to come up, and I believe it was to get one of the last corners of the top. So, you know, obviously get an edge rusher and corner. Falcons surviving and doing the best they could. And Bills stay back, get Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia. A good outside-inside receiver. I do think he's going to easily play for the outside for him, but this gives you three truly versatile weapons, and everyone can get open. Everyone can be used in multiple sets, multiple different ways. I think he, at that point of the draft, is going to be your best option. Between him and Troy Franklin, I would say, but Ladd McConkey there more likely, and he should be a star for this team.
Yeah. This is a pick that it's kind of interesting. We were talking before. It's like it's going to be interesting to see what type of wide receiver they're looking for. And the good thing is that we just went and got two different types of wide receivers, because here at pick 60, we are double tapping the wide receiver position. We're taking Jalen Polk, the wide receiver from Washington. We got our small, get open underneath, get open vertically kind of guy. Now we've got Jalen Polk, a little bigger, can get open vertically, but also an underrated athlete, underrated route runner. He's rising. I think this is his range. I think there's a chance that he's a top 50 pick, but in this case, he was sitting there. Some teams preferred some other wide receivers. We went and got two new wide receivers for Josh Allen. Now, someone might say, well, this is just who's going to get the targets. This is the point. It doesn't really matter. Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, Ladd McConkey, Jalen Polk, Curtis Samuel. You've got all of these weapons at your disposal. You've got a creative offense. You're just going to be looking to plug and play all of these wide receivers. And I don't, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I think we'd be, guessing at who's going to be the favorite. But from a team building perspective, which is how we approach these, this is kind of a method that I think could work for the Bills this offseason.
Yeah, and I think a big thing with the Diggs trade was he was demanding more and more targets. This offense kind of switched to we're spreading the ball. Whoever's open, whoever's making plays, getting the ball. We're not force feeding one target. Diggs didn't really like that. He felt it cost them games, it felt like at times, but less arguments because everyone's just going to be happy to make plays on this team. So I think that's a better wide receiver core for them. For the third round, now that we have a third round pick, we took Andrew Phillips, a corner from Kentucky, an explosive athlete, versatile, helps in run supports, perfect for them to where he can play whatever scheme we're going to be playing with this new whole secondary. And it'll be a good fit, and he could play either side. You lost two starting corners, but both those guys were a little hurt last year, and Trey White's been hurt for a couple of years. So you have other people that have been playing. I think he slots in for you relatively early this year and can make some big plays.
Yeah, this is a kid that has, I believe, inside-out versatility. You've got a corner room, much like the wide receiver room. You've just got shots on a ton of different guys. So following that up, we're going to continue adding to the secondary here with 109. Bo Braid, the safety from Maryland, hard-hitting kid, flies around the field. I believe we've taken him in one of these mock drafts, maybe even recently. But the safety class, we were talking pre-show, it's kind of hard to tell which ones will be there. A lot of the top guys, and at least in the media, tested really poorly. I don't know how that's going to impact everything. But to me, adding Bo Braid to a safety room that right now, yes, you signed Mike Edwards, but I don't think you want to rely on Mike Edwards being your starting safety for the long haul, let alone I don't think that he's going to give you good enough play. So Bo Braid will come in, challenge him immediately for a starting role. And, you know, in the fourth round, if you can get that, I think that's pretty good value.
Yeah. And same thing with the other fourth round pick at 128, Leonard Taylor, D tackle from Miami, high effort, high motor guy with good first step, pretty good pass rushing tools, just needs to have a better kind of plan going into it. And that's going to be coaching, a little bit of technique. And he should be able to smooth some stuff out. But that's why he's here in the fourth. Also a very heavy D-tackle class in the second and third rounds. So being able to sit back in the fourth and get our depth piece is a good sign here when we got to fill basically our biggest three holes with our first four picks.
Yes. Yes, we did. And then we're going to kind of transition to, you know, this is a room that I think is pretty, you know, good for the short term. Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard. Terrell Bernard filled in for Tremaine Edmonds last year, and he did so pretty well. He's flying around the field. You get another guy that can fly around the field here, though, and Cedric Gray, linebacker out of North Carolina. They signed Nicholas Morrow as well. I think that you want some more depth to your linebacking room. Cedric Gray gives you that. He's a good athlete. He's incredibly productive. And I know that, you know, linebacker production doesn't always tell the tale, but a lot of times with these college linebackers, that's indicating good processing. And I think Cedric Gray is a good processor. I think whichever team actually drafts him would be pretty happy to snag him, especially in the fifth round. And he's probably just in a rotational role here, which is ideal for your fifth round pick, despite all the holes that we still have on this team.
Yeah, well, the holes are there because we cut everyone. True. Fifth round, pick 160, taking a backup offensive lineman this year, possibly offensive lineman in the future, Javon Foster, offensive tackle from Missouri. Again, same with what we went with at the D-tackle position, a guy that shows a lot of promise, a good athlete, but that has a lot of technique things that need to be cleaned up, a lot of overextending, probably a little bit more functional strength in there, but good athlete, good in the open field, getting to blocks, high motor in passing game, seen him go to a second guy more than once, which is a lot for a tackle at that level when they're just trying to get all the technique down. And when he doesn't even have that down and is doing the extra effort stuff, it's kind of showing you what you want to see, and we can clean up the rest. But to be a swing backup tackle for you, we did bring in Lyle Collins on a one-year deal to be that guy, but I think Foster is perfect setting to where you can learn from the guys there and kind of build and grow. Worst case, we got a backup tackle for 4 years, and I'm happy with that in the fifth.
For sure. Yeah, this was one of those picks where I think there are more pressing needs for sure. Bringing in Lyle Collins kind of gives you the ability to not do this, but I also, Lyle Collins probably isn't giving you too much. So pick 163, kind of quick turnaround here. We took Kalen King, the corner from Penn State. Double tap that position as well. That is, you know, one of the bigger problems with this team. They whiffed on Kair Elam. I think that's the big problem. Christian Benford is filled in, but I heard, you know, someone put it in a way that I don't think I can do better, but they basically said, if Christian Benford is your starting number one corner and he's a number three corner on most other teams, you're in trouble. We're going to double tap this position. Kalen King's a kid who went into last year as a highly sought after corner prospect that had a really rough year and has fallen down boards. I think he's a day three pick. And I think that when we start to talk about that, there becomes a value to him where I think he can play. I think he can play in the NFL, and getting a guy that you think can play in the fifth round, especially in this corner room where it's kind of wide open, is a good shot at the position.
Yep. Sixth round, pick 200, Dylan McMahon, the center slash guard from North Carolina State, a guy rising up boards because no surprise, he was on Feldman's freak list and he proved it at the combine, testing well on pro day and testing really, really well. I think he was probably near undrafted, seventh round. He's jumping up here to basically the fifth round, early sixth here. I think it's a perfect fit. Again, we got a backup offensive tackle. They have their starting five locked up for this year. They trade away one piece to fit this five out there. This is what they want. Let's get guys for the future, guys that can step in. At least we know McMahon can play multiple positions for us and move around. Highly intelligent guy, good effort, moved around a lot, fifth-year senior this year, doing a lot of good work, a lot of second-level work, working well with any kind of movement up front from, again, little tape I've seen of him, but every little thing you see of him is good except him stopping his feet sometimes. But we can work on that, at least as a backup here. Getting his feet stuck in the mud is not ideal, but at center you can live with it most of the time, and I think that's why he is going to play best there, at least early in his career.
Yeah, for sure. And then we're going to round this out with a disappointing player, to say the least, but Zion Tupuola-Fet. I can never say this kid's name. ZTF. Edge from Washington. A kid that, I mean, was sought after as a recruit. I think a lot of people had high expectations for him at Washington, and he never really lived up to those. But he has NFL size. He has the NFL pedigree. I think that there are times where he flashes the ability. And I think, you know, there's a chance that he goes undrafted for what it's worth. But I think a team taking a shot on him on day three makes a ton of sense to say, hey, I think we can fix the things that are wrong. A lot of it is technique stuff. It's just he, for whatever reason, coming out of Washington, where there have been really good edge rushers, just hasn't developed in the same way. And so I think this is one of those we need to add to the position a little bit, but it's not a huge need, right? Because we signed AJ Epenesa heading into this. So let's take a shot on an upside kid that might work into a rotation at some point soon. All right. And then our new starting lineup, it's kind of hard to read on the screen, but if you're watching on YouTube, just pause it and zoom in. I think you can do that. Randy, do you want to go ahead and read off the new depth chart?
Yeah, so quarterback, Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, basically at Shane Buccelli in there as well. James Cook, Ty Johnson, Darrington Evans as our running backs. Again, not a great value that we found in the draft. We just wanted to hit the other positions a little bit more. They're going to be able to get an undrafted running back if they really want one. Starting left wide receiver, Ladd McConkey, with Justin Shorter, Matt Collins rotating behind him, Khalil Shakir, Jalen Polk on the other side, Curtis Samuel, and Andy Isabella in the slot. Deion Dawkins and now Javon Foster backing him up at left tackle. David Edwards, Connor McGovern, Wolklap, and Dylan McMahon as all your centers, and McMahon being your swing guy. Osiris Torrance at right guard, Spencer Brown and Leal Collins at right tackle. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Quentin Morris, Trey McKinney, Zach Davidson, all, you know, two really good tight ends and three really good names of high upside tight ends in the last few drafts that haven't played out. But we, for a tight end three, I'm happy to have that. Greg Rousseau, Von Miller, Daquan Jones, Deshaun Williams, Ed Oliver, Austin Johnson, and Leonard Taylor, AJ Epenesa, Casey Talhoun, ZTP, and Kingsley Jonathan rounding out our D line there. Matt Milano, Nicholas Moreau, Terrell Bernard, Cedric Gray at our linebacker position, Christian Benford, Kyrie Elam, Rasul Douglas, Andrew Phillips, Kalen King, and Teron Johnson and Cam Lewis as our corners, and Mike Edwards, Bo Braid, Taylor Rapp, and DeMar Hamlin at safety. Listen, it's a reset year for him. I think with Josh Allen and what you already had, I think you have a good offensive line, you have a good defensive line, you have good starting linebackers. I think you're figuring out a few things this year, but you're still a competitive team. You still should be in the playoffs with that quarterback. And if the wide receivers hit and you get better corner play this year and adequate safety play, because honestly, the tandem of Poyer and Micah Hyde haven't really been healthy the last 2 years, even if they are really good. So we haven't really seen great safety play from them. So just getting more bodies in there is good. And honestly, Micah Hyde's still a free agent. I wouldn't be shocked if he just comes back.
That would be better than Mike Edwards if he is healthy.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to move some money around. I'm sure they gained some. It's probably a plus minus money getting an extra third, the third with moving back like 12 spots. So,
and moving up into, I mean, you move back. You also lose your seventh rounder. So,
yeah. But they have like an effective cap of like 200,000 right now.
Yeah.
So they'll have to figure it out somewhere.
It's not good. But shout out Stephon Diggs. Fleeced him. He fleeced him.
Yeah, the trade didn't really help the cap. So
it actually made it worse by like $3 million. I do recall that. I was like,
yeah, but that's why they post June 1st cut Trey White all those months ago. They kind of knew this was happening.
They sure did. But overall, I feel like this Bills team still makes the playoffs. I don't necessarily know if they're the champion of that division when all is said and done. But
they know, but like, the Dolphins are really good. Patriots, definitely not. Jets, we'll see.
Jets, on paper, I would probably put the Jets and Dolphins ahead of this Bills team, but also I think we have enough building blocks here where we're feeling good about our future, which is, like you said, what we kind of want to do this year.
We have the building block in Josh Allen. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. The window is as long as Josh Allen's career, and hopefully that's very long. And hopefully the Bills continue to get better. Thank you guys for watching or listening. If you're on the podcast, we do have the podcast over there as well. So make sure you check that out on your favorite podcast platform. Want to mention the Patreon as well, patreon.com/DevRoyale. It's like $5 to join. You can join the Discord for like $1. It's a lot of fun over there. We're doing mock drafts and things like that. We've got a Substack going. So make sure you check that out as well. We'll be back sometime. We don't have a plan, and we know it's been a little spotty. Spring soccer season is kicking my butt, and spring everything season for Randy is kicking his. So we will be back at some point here soon. So thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you guys next time.